Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text today is taken from our gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. To be or not to be, that is the question. Whether it is nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against a sea of troubles, and by opposing them, end them, to die, to sleep no more. Well, you might recognize some of those words. Those words are words of Hamlet, okay? Shakespeare. So here he is, he's despondent, he's bemoaning the unfairness of life and all the troubles that come this way. His father was murdered, and so he's trying to decide whether it's better, 'tis nobler just to suffer those pains and let them get away with it, or is it better to go after them, seek revenge, and then perhaps die in the process? What to do? What to do? Well, no doubt in our gospel reading this morning, King Herod is thinking the very same thing. He's reconsidering what he has done. Oh, he's heard about this Jesus guy, and he's sitting there thinking, it's like, well, is this John the Baptist whom he beheaded, has he come back to life? I mean, all these miraculous things are happening. It probably is. I mean, John was a righteous and holy man. Maybe that's what it is. But if it's not him, then perhaps maybe it's some other prophet from the past who's come to call. Well, the real question, though, in the play Hamlet, or in our gospel reading, regarding about Herod, can the dead live? Okay, we're going to take a look at this. Can the dead live? Now, Hamlet here, again, is struggling with the day-to-day issues of life. How can he bear to go on living when people are seemingly getting away with evil, right? Can he live under this veil that all these things are going on around him? Or does he work on getting revenge at perhaps the expense of his own life? But there is something that irks him, and he continues on. But that dread of something after death, the undiscovered country, from whose born no traveler returns, puzzles the will and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of. Now what he's saying there is Hamlet has this wonders of this dread in mind. And what is that? Is there something after death? Okay, Hamlet calls it the undiscovered country. It's a place where no travelers go, but nobody returns. So if they go there, nobody comes back. You don't know what's on the other side, so to speak. And so that's where he has this considered going on in his mind here. Okay, because if he seeks revenge, he might die in the process, but what happens afterwards? So he's weighing this. And Herod, too, he wondered about all of this. When he heard about Jesus, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because he had married her. For John had been saying to Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and kept him safe. Could this Jesus be John? That's what Herod's thinking, okay? Herod had some fear, too, there. Because John the Baptist had been saying that Herod here has been doing something that is not lawful, that he has his brother's wife. Now, what all this means here is you go back to Josephus, the historian there, and, well, Herodias had exercised her right as a Roman citizen to divorce her husband. Okay? That was Philip. So she divorced her husband. Now, Herod here, he wanted to marry Herodias. So what did he do? Well, he divorced his wife. That was the daughter of the king of Petra. So, in Jewish eyes there, they're all looking, it's like, you know, one, you can't divorce unless, you know, no good reason here. So why are they doing this? And so that's where John's coming in here and saying, it's not lawful for you to marry Herodias. Herod kind of got that. Herodias, she didn't care. She just got mad, holding a grudge against John because pointing out her error there, and everybody's hearing all about it all the time because he kept talking about it. So Herodias plots to have John killed. Kind of sounds like a play Shakespeare might have written, right? Dare say, I think Shakespeare got his ideas from the Bible. Yeah, Herod knew John to be holy, but the trappings of his power made him to keep his own word in all situations. And so after this dance there, it's like, hey, you know, he's sitting there so proud of his stepdaughter there, and it's like, all right, you know, I'll give you anything you want. You know, even up to half my kingdom, you just name it and let me know. So she runs back and goes to ask her mom, like, hey, what should I ask for? And she has her a thing, the head of John the Baptist. And so while that made Herod ill that he had to do that, but he had to keep his word, keep his image, right, in front of everybody else. So that's what he did. So he had him killed, put to death. Question, though, is that Herod's still thinking, is this John come back? Has he come back? Can you come back? Well, when you search the scriptures, you find in Hebrews 9:27, just as a man is destined to die but once, and then judgment. What that means is that when you die, that's judgment day, okay? And there's only two destinations that you can go, and coming back to this earth is not one of them. One, you go to heaven, or the other, you go to hell. Okay? There's no way for John to come back. Jesus is not a reincarnated John the Baptist. Okay? Jesus is Jesus. And Jesus, as Paul says in our second reading, is a blessing to us. God sought to enlarge his heavenly family, and he used Jesus to do it. Why? Well, we live in a world that is like in Hamlet or Herod. There are all kinds of injustices that happen in this world. Bad things happen to us. And perhaps they might even be evil things that happen toward us. But then they more likely are things that we do ourselves. If you think about it, sins against God and against our neighbor, well, that puts us at odds with God. As I said before, we have a just God. And what I mean by that is that a just God, if someone sins, there is a punishment that goes along with that. And if a person sins, what is it? Even if it's just one, what's the punishment? Death. Okay? Can't get away from that. Any sin is punishable by death. And therefore, we are all lost under those circumstances. Yet at the same time, while we have a just God, we have a loving God who sent us Jesus. Jesus is the one who died for those sins. Jesus is the one who earned forgiveness of all of our sins. Jesus is the one who rose from the grave alive. Jesus is the one who ensures that we are adopted into God's family. Have you ever thought that you were adopted? Think about that. That you are adopted into God's family. Jesus makes that possible. And why is it so important to be about that? Well, Hamlet wondered what happens after this life. He called it an undiscovered country. We, after we die, again, go to two locations. Either be heaven or hell. If you don't know Jesus, you go to hell. And if you have faith in Jesus, you go to heaven. It's just that simple. And how can that be? Again, Herod wondered if John had come back. John did not come back in Herod's presence. But Jesus makes it possible for us to come back into God's presence, okay? Forever and ever. And the cool thing about that is that we will receive an inheritance when we do. You got to be alive to receive an inheritance. You have to be a family member to receive that. You see, God adopts us into his family, and we enjoy the benefits of living in God's presence forever and ever. What this means is in the meantime here that we live our lives as God's children. Our baptisms guarantee us that we have that forgiveness and have that hope of everlasting life. We are marked as one of God's own. We are part of his family. And there in the waters of baptism, that's where God adopts us into his family. Now there may be evil things that come our way, but he's still right there with us. And knowing that our long-term future is secure helps us get through those short-term bumps that we have along the way. Well, over the past week, Might say we had kind of a family reunion at our house there. I had my son come in with his wife and my three grandsons, and my daughter Rachel's back from China, and David had been earlier in the week from Arizona. And so we go out to dinner, and so you got lots of people around the table. I like seeing that. But there were some people who were missing. Like my dad, he died a number of years ago, and so did my in-laws as well. They're not there, but they had a huge role in our family. If it wasn't for them, I wouldn't be here today. Nor would my wife, nor my kids, or my grandchildren. The very same thing can be said of Jesus. It matters not how many are in your earthly family, but what matters most is you being in the heavenly family. Jesus is the one that makes sure that at the end of our days, when that question is asked, to be or not to be, Jesus makes sure that that answer will always be to be. It's not a question. Jesus makes it a statement. You see, that's the faith that we have, that is given to us, a faith that is ensured through Jesus, a faith that makes us a part of God's heavenly family. We are adopted into that family to be there forever and ever. So we, this day, can give thanks. Give thanks for all things, because we will indeed have a joyful reunion with those who go before us in the faith because of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.